This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's the Sports Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. The Junks are off on a President's Day Monday, so Denton Day and Toby Altizer are sitting in for the remainder of the morning. The question that we are asking our listeners right now, Toby, if forced to give up either John Allen or Daron Payne in a trade for Myles Garrett, but the Browns are making it a dealer's choice, who are you sending to Cleveland? You said you would send John Allen. Mm-hmm. I said I would send Daron Payne. You can join the conversation, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. You can also tweet us at the Denton Day, at Toby underscore Altizer, your answer to this question. Let's go out to the Richmond area. Our guy Matt wants to jump in on this. Matt, what's going on?
Hi, Denton. How you guys doing?
Doing well.
Great. I want to talk about the Brown side of things. The Browns are going to want more than two first-rounders and a player. Now that if we come with a what's part of negotiation, give and take, and when the Browns, if they're smart, I think they're going to make it hurt for us. They're going to take a player we really need, but we're going to have to say, well, let's say we give them two first-rounders and two players, for example. We're going to have to give someone – we're going to have to give away – we're going to have to trade one that's we don't want to trade.
Yeah, I think – and that's the tough one. Appreciate the phone call. I think that's where it's tough, Denton, is where do you draw that line? And the issue I have here is I don't want to give up Sanra still. I don't want to give up Luvu. On the offensive side, obviously, Jaden's untouchable. Terry, to me, is not available. The problem is – if he's saying what, you know, if what he says is true, who else do they want?
Well, first of all, I understand the mentality of what he is saying. What he's saying is not going to happen. They can't take on two players. They're already $27 million under the cap. So taking Myles Garrett off of their books and then negotiating the cap hit, you know, Washington's going to pay some of the salary, but then give him an extension. And Cleveland, if they give up a player, whether it's John or Daron, is likely not going to have to play a majority of that cap hit just to ease their burden a little bit. But because of that Deshaun Watson contract, they're $27 million under the cap. That's second to last in the NFL. Only the Saints, who everyone knows is in salary cap hell, is further under the cap. So they literally can't take two players unless you're giving them guys with next to no contract. But if you look at Washington's team, they don't have a lot of guys that are under contract.
Well, and that's my thing is, like, if you're looking at saying that they're going to have to take one of the young guys or someone, I don't know that there is one. You know, there aren't players, one, that other teams are going to want outside of a John Allen or Daron Payne, which I don't know how attractive those guys are for another franchise. I'm not trading Sanra Still or Luvu. Maybe you could say Quan Martin. But if you're looking at just, even if we're not talking Myles Garrett situation, if you were going to look somewhere else for a trade that might pop up down the line, I don't know how many attractive players there are on this roster, frankly.
There are not a lot. Not a lot. And the reason that I offered up Daron Payne is because you can get out of his contract after this year. Very similar to, like, with John Allen, you can get him off your books in a year. You can get out of Daron's contract this year. Like, so I got what he was saying in that they're going to try and make it hurt. Honestly, if you're a smart organization and you know your top player wants to leave, you know that you're not in a position to win because your quarterback stinks and the cap hit is ginormous with said quarterback, it actually is doing the Browns a service because you're either going to have to pay Myles Garrett more money, you're going to have to reset the market again, or you get him out of town, pay a little bit. You're still paying for whoever it is, but you're paying way less money than you would be for Myles Garrett.
And the other thing, too, is I don't think their mentality is whoever they get the trade from is we have to make them hurt. They just want the best deal.
Right.
Which, in turn, might make it feel a little bit worse for a team because, you know, if Washington ends up in a bidding war with the Detroit Lions and maybe Philadelphia, and you mentioned San Fran in there, if they end up in a bidding war and you're going to 2-1s plus, I think Washington's 2-1s would maybe be a little more attractive than Philadelphia's 2-1s. They're going to be a little more attractive than potentially the 2-1s from Detroit, maybe. I think you're kind of in that same area. But maybe you have to give up one of the young guys if they're willing to offer, which they're going to have a little more of a surplus to give up guys. Like, if you're looking at Philadelphia, they've got guys that they could move on from. Not, you know, none of their top flight guys, but they've got guys that are more expendable than Washington.
Yeah, that they do. Let's go to Gus in Arlington. Gus, you're on the Junkies with Dende, Toby Altizer. What's going on?
Good morning, fellas. You know, I'm piggybacking on that last caller because I said it's not Payne or Allen. Cleveland's going to want Newton and Sanders still. And 2-1s, and you have to be willing to give that up if you're going to beat Philly out in a bid. And I'd say we still do because everyone thinks our roster is, you know, oh, we made it to the Final Four this year. We just do a little fine-tuning. We beat a lot of bad situations last year with the whole quarterbacks we faced last year, and that's not going to happen this year. Our roster is not that strong. We can't just totally depend on Jaden either. Teams are going to target in on him. So give us Garrett. Now we have the best player in the field the whole game on offense and defense against the majority of the opponents in the league.
Gus, I appreciate it. Let me tell you this, Toby. If it is, they don't want John Allen or Daron Payne, but they want Johnny Newton. Johnny Newton's going to look really good in orange.
Well, if they
did look really good in orange, he'll look good in orange again.
If they want Newton and Samer still, I'm out.
No, they're not going to. Washington, there is a, I would say, not 0% chance because this is not a report. Gut feel is that there is like a 1% chance that they give up two players. They're going to give up draft picks for Myles Garrett, not players, because they don't have guys to give up that they want to separate from.
To me, and I understand his point, but I would almost disagree. Like, I think having Myles Garrett would be good, obviously. No one's going to debate that. But giving up what he's saying to give up to say, you know what, we're going to have the best player on the field. I think it's a reasonable point, right? Jaden Daniels is going to be the best player on the field no matter what defense you're playing. Myles Garrett going to be the best player on the field no matter what offense you're playing. I like the idea, except for the fact, who's playing around him? You're getting rid of all the draft picks. And I think, you know, when you look at their cap space, everyone goes, oh, okay, like third most in the league. That's true. They also have a lot of roster spots they got to fill. A lot of roster spots. You got to figure out tight end. Is Zach Ertz coming back? Got to figure out linebacker. Is Bobby coming back? Got to figure out strong safety. Got to figure out another corner. There's only two wide receivers currently on the roster, Terry and Luke McCaffrey. You got to sign 3, 4, 5 guys there. So there's a lot of spots where they just simply have to spend money where suddenly that eats into your pool of, yeah, we've got the most, but $2 million for the fifth wide receiver, that takes some out. You're spending $4 million for the fourth receiver. You're spending, so it's not as much cap space as it looks like on paper. So I think you can't give up too many assets and then it'd be worth it.
No, they're also not going to give up Mikey.
No,
they're not going to give up Mikey. I do wonder also, like, what is the market for Mikey Sanders still? Is a team going to trade for a 5'9 slot corner who is playing out of position?
I think people like him a lot.
I think people like him a lot too, but I don't know how many teams are going to attempt to talk Washington out of that one. I think he fits perfectly here, and I want him to stay here for a long time.
It just depends. I don't know that the market would be crazy, but think of a guy, to me, the name that always comes to mind in terms of what you would value him or who you compare him to is, remember Mike Hilton for years with Cincinnati. What do you value that as? That's kind of up to you and your team.
Yeah.
But I think nickel defender in the modern NFL is a little bit undervalued, so maybe you've got a little bit of a steal there.
Let's go to Scott in Arlington. Scott, I can just tell by the way that Chris put this in our system that you got a very, very out there idea, but I'm looking forward to it. What's going on?
Yeah, I just want to throw it out there. I haven't heard anybody talking about it, but packaging something that might involve losing Allen and Payne to get Garrett and Denzel Ward, 27-year-old shutdown corner, who has been on the record of saying, if Garrett leaves Cleveland, that I need to reevaluate my decision. Is there any way Adam Peters could pull that off? What do you guys think?
I think that idea is outlandish, but I love it, Scott. I think that's a great idea. Is there an NFL trade machine to know if that would work out financially? I don't know
that if you're Cleveland, you ship them off in the same deal unless you end up with something substantial.
Right? That would have to be 3 first-round picks.
It would have to be 3, and it would have to be players, maybe.
Yeah, players, plural.
Because to me, if I'm doing that, I'm not maximizing sending it all to the same team. I'm going to get 2 1s for Myles Garrett. I might get a 1 and a 3 for Denzel Ward if I trade him to someone else. So I don't know that you could do that without kind of eliminating the point of the trade. Right, like if I'm trading for Denzel Ward, I want to pair him up with Lattimore and with Sanristil. Well, chances are Sanristil's in that trade. I want to pair up Myles Garrett with Johnny Newton in the future. Well, chances are a guy like Johnny Newton has to be in that deal. So I just don't think that that's as realistic. I would love it.
Love
I think
it.
it's a fun hypothetical.
Yeah, because you imagine like Denzel with Lattimore with Mikey. I'm not saying that's Legion of Boom good, but it's a hell of a lot better than what it was to start this year off.
Yeah, I just also, when you look at some of the things cap-wise for Cleveland, if they were to do a post-June 1 trade, which would what it have to be if they were doing Denzel Ward, they'd have $10 million of dead cap this year and about $20 million of dead cap next year. They'd save about $14 million this year. So they'd save about $4 million this season, have to eat about a $20 million dead cap next year. You're already going to have to deal with some dead cap for Myles Garrett. Suddenly for Cleveland, it just gets a little bit too dicey on how much dead cap you're eating over the next couple of years.
Yeah. That idea is so out there. I love it.
I like it, though. I mean, sometimes those crazy ones are the ones that actually get across because they would make some sense, right? Like that, if you could somehow find a way to get both of those guys, there's no question that would improve your football team a lot.
A hell of a lot. Our guy Tay tweets at us. You can tweet us at Toby Altizer, at Toby underscore Altizer, at the Denton Day. Tay says they think we should pay attention to what Cincinnati does with Trey Hendrickson. That is a Trey Hendrickson. If we're doing like a list here, plan A, B, and C. Trey Hendrickson, I would say, is plan C here. Myles Garrett's plan A. You call about Max Crosby is plan B, and then Trey Hendrickson is plan C. If Hendrickson is available, I would go after Trey Hendrickson. I think you might be available via free agency rather than a trade, so you got to give up assets. Trey Hendrickson's he's a badass, man. He's a badass. He's not in the same tier as Myles Garrett and Max Crosby, I don't think, but he is a big-time player in the postseason.
I mean, I would agree with you that he's not in the same tier. But the numbers don't say that. You look at his seasons the last couple of years. So what did I say that Garrett had done? 16, 16, 14, 14?
Yes.
The last 4 years, let's go to the last 5 for him. You include his last year in New Orleans. 13.5 sacks, 14 sacks.
He had 17.5 sacks this year?
17.5. I think he's led the league, or at least he led the league this year. Last year, he had 17.5. So he has been every bit as good on paper as those guys. Now, I think for him, he's different in that he's a skilled pass rusher. He's not as skilled as Myles Garrett, which, frankly, there aren't many. But he's a great effort guy.
Great
big time effort guy.
Great culture guy.
And I think he would fit perfectly with what they're trying to do. He's not going to cost nearly as much. I think that's a name that you do have to consider a little bit more because even if you had to trade for him, I think it's the last year of his deal. Cincinnati's not going to be asking for nearly as much. I think you maybe could get away even without a one. Maybe. And if that's the case, sign me up because he's going to be an impact guy off the edge and you can kind of decide what you're going to do. Because the other thing about this, Denton, is what if they just said, let's run it back with Payne, Allen, and Newton? because you might save $10 million, you might save some bucks, and I don't necessarily love that trio, but you could also say, I'm not going to improve that position with whatever money I'm going to save. Why don't I just run it back when I already have a lot of cap space? I don't need the cap space. This isn't a situation where you're like, we have to get $10 million so we can find a wide receiver. You already got the cap space, even though it's not as much as like I was laying out earlier. It's not as much as people think it is. You don't need it. So maybe just run it back with those guys if you can get a guy like Hendrickson. There you go. Suddenly you feel pretty decent about that defensive line.
And you are right. He's in the final year of his contract because he demanded a trade last year. I thought he was in the last year of his contract this past year. So you would have to make a move with Cincinnati, and Cincinnati, I don't know that they want to let him go.
Well, we'll see, because the thing for them too, you look at the numbers, they would save about 13, 14 million releasing or trading him. So they can.
That's a good point.
If they want to do that.
And they got their quarterback putting pressure on them to keep T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, and there's only so much money to go around. When we get back, we're going to continue to take your calls on this. Daron Payne or John Allen, who are you more comfortable in losing in a trade for Myles Garrett if it goes that way? But also something that Washington could do at wide receiver that Bill Barnwell put out of ESPN. I'll read that to you and Toby when we get back. Don't go anywhere. It's the Sports Junkies with Dede, Toby Altsarz, 106.7 The Fan of the Team 980.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
All right, Toby, I got great news.
Let's hear it.
Grant Paulson's going to join us at 9.
GP, let's go.
He's going to give you a report card about me.
All right, I love it.
So we got your report card ahead of Valentine's Day. I'm going to get a report card after Valentine's Day.
Okay.
So I'm excited about that.
So I went through the Bachelor Combine. You're going through the...
Fiancé Combine,
okay.
I believe he just celebrated 7 years, so it's like a good time
to have a
connoisseur of love, if you will, Grant Paulson. So I'm looking forward to it. We spent a lot of time together in New Orleans. He got to learn about me a little bit, so that's
fun. Is that a good thing or a bad thing going into this?
We will ask him at 9. That is something for him to discuss there.
Was it a good thing or bad thing that it was in New Orleans?
Yeah, trust me, there are worse cities to learn about people in. I can tell you that.
I feel like you learn a lot about people in New Orleans.
You learn a lot about people in New Orleans, a lot about meals consumed.
Sure.
You know, it's not like we are in Dubuque. Yeah, there's a lot of different things that you can learn about somebody in the great city of New Orleans.
No doubt.
So I was reading this on Twitter. Bill Barnwell of ESPN is doing he did an article about some potential options for free agency and cutdowns. And he wrote on the possible cutdown candidate of one Christian Kirk. Washington needs a wide receiver too. And he writes, former Arizona coach Cliff Kingsbury, now the offensive coordinator in Washington, raved about Kirk as, quote, one of my favorite players I've been around, and the Commanders need help at the wide receiver beyond Terry McLaurin. For those that are unaware, Christian Kirk played with Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona, and you could argue that Cliff Kingsbury got him a massive contract in Jacksonville. I think most people knew that contract was silly when it was signed. That aside, would you be interested in Christian Kirk as a wide receiver 2 to Terry McLaurin's wide receiver 1?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the interesting thing about Kirk is he's a good player. He's not a great player. But if you can get guys for free versus in terms of you're not having to give up
assets,
draft capital,
yeah,
then sign me up. And I think a guy like Christian Kirk, who's more so a slot guy, but just looking at his last couple of seasons, his first 2 years in Jacksonville weren't bad. They weren't great, but this past season he got hurt. He look at his first year in Jacksonville, played all 17 games, 84 catches for 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns. I mean, that's immediately your second best wide receiver, immediately there. Even the next year when he only played 12 games, 57 receptions for 787 yards and 3 touchdowns, that's still immediately your second best receiver. So I think getting a guy like that, when you combine that with maybe drafting a guy in the second, third, fourth round, I think it would make some sense, especially someone that's comfortable with Cliff, can do a little bit of everything. I don't think he's exceptional at anything, but I think he can do a little bit of everything, which I think this offense could use. I think it would make some sense to do that.
I definitely think it would make sense. My fear would be, is he Curtis Samuel or Paul Richardson? Remember Paul Richardson? If you don't, it's because we didn't see him a lot on the field. I'd be worried about that, but the connection to Cliff is a good one, but the offenses are a little bit different in what Washington is doing versus what Arizona did. Does that really mean much? No, you can come learn an offense. I get that. But I do wonder, like, if you're making a list of guys that you would want Washington to have at wide receiver, and we'll go realistic list, right? Like, I don't imagine Davante Adams is going to be here. I just don't. T. Higgins, I think, is more realistic. Cooper Kupp is more realistic. Debo is more realistic. If you're making a list of guys, how far down that list do you get until Christian Kirk is the answer? So it feels like pretty far.
I don't know.
For me, at least. For me, it would be at least five or six guys deep.
Okay, so if you're going, I mean, if we're going with the guys that we talk about all the time, T. Higgins, Debo, Cooper Kupp, he's going to be below those guys. But I don't know, for Cooper Kupp especially, I don't know that he's that much further down than Cooper Kupp, because to me, Cooper Kupp is slow. Cooper Kupp's not the same guy that went for 1,900 yards a couple seasons ago. He's not that dude anymore.
To be fair, Cooper Kupp is also down that list for me. I have no interest
in him. And Kupp is also another injury risk. And to me, he's just kind of a slot guy that is going to be Mr. Reliable, almost a Zach Ertz at the wide receiver position, because, frankly, I think they run about the same speed at this point in their careers. but I'd be interested. Now, the one thing that you're understanding when you pick up a guy like Christian Kirk, this past season, he ran 42 routes from out wide, and this is only for the eight games that he played. 42 routes from out wide, 166 in the slot. He is almost exclusively going to be a slot guy, and that's fine because I don't know that anyone else is taking that spot from him right now. Luke McCaffrey, we thought, would maybe step into that role. I know you lost a few bucks betting that he would score a touchdown every week.
More than a few, but enough to where if he actually scored a touchdown, I would have profited.
So I don't know if he's going to step into that role next year, but if you're going to say that you want the true slot guy for this offense, which I don't know that they really had last year, Jamison Crowder played there a little bit, but I don't know that anyone was like, okay, that's their slot guy. If you want that role filled, I think Christian Kirk can do that. You're not going to expect 1,000 yards, but, you know, 600-800 yards, I think would be fine.
Okay, so I grabbed a list of, these are free agents. So this is not Washington giving up assets. These are guys that are free agents. And I'm going to give you a this or a that. So I'll read your name and sure, you can decide this player or Christian Kirk. It's an impromptu game, but we're going to play it. So we will start at the top with the name that everybody has been talking about for what feels like 2 years now, T. Higgins, you and I are in agreement with that one. How about the local kid, Stephon Diggs?
Oh, both coming off injuries. I think it comes down to what is Diggs asking. Like, how much is Diggs asking?
Right.
Kirk isn't going to be asking a lot.
So we'll say, for the sake of this conversation, Diggs is asking for more than Christian Kirk, but he's not asking for anywhere near T. Higgins' money. So let's say Diggs is asking for like 1 or 2 years at 15 per year. Because he's 31 years old. He's 10 years in the league. He's not getting a massive deal.
Am I crazy? I might go Christian Kirk.
I think the thing that Christian Kirk gives you the benefit of is it doesn't seem like he has been, shall we say, destructive in previous stints,
sure,
where it feels like Stephon Diggs has never left somebody on a good note.
I think Diggs is losing a step now, coming off of an injury too. You get Christian Kirk, both coming off injuries, like I said, but Christian Kirk's 28. It's not great, but
he's not 31.
Yeah, you know. I think I would take Christian Kirk.
Keenan Allen.
I was wrong about Keenan Allen this year. I thought he was going to be a really, really good player for the Chicago Bears. I did not think that he particularly was. That being said,
that could have been more the Bears coaching staff.
Yeah, that being said, give me Keenan Allen.
I think I would lean Keenan Allen as well. Veteran presence, nice to have in the locker room. How about Amari Cooper?
See, this is interesting because Amari Cooper was someone the Bills traded for, and then I felt like I never heard from him. I thought it was a really good trade for them.
We saw the one touchdown the first game where Keon Coleman drew on his hand the route that Cooper needed to run, and then ran that route, and Josh Allen found him, and then it felt like I never heard from
him. In eight games with Buffalo this year, he had 20 catches, 297 yards, and two touchdowns. Christian Kirk?
I would take Kirk, too. I've never been an Amari Cooper guy. Like, even I liked him when he was in college. I've never been an Amari Cooper guy since he left college. It didn't matter where he played. Just never a fan of Amari Cooper. Here's a good one, because this is a guy that I'm actually kind of passionate about. Chris Godwin.
For the price tag, Christian Kirk.
I would take Godwin.
Godwin
right now amongst some of these guys would be a guy that I would really go after. While everyone is, looking in the direction of a T. Higgins and a Cooper Kupp and a Debo, I would slide in there and get Chris Godwin immediately.
Yes, I think Chris Godwin is going to command too much money for the risk that he brings. He's an incredible receiver. They're really similar styles. Chris Godwin's much better than Christian Kirk, Godwin being the slot guy as well. But I would much rather pay a little bit less to take Christian Kirk if we're dealing with some injury risk there. And while the production won't be nearly as much, I don't know that the drop-off from Godwin to Kirk is enough for me to be willing to pay maybe 2 to 3 times as much for Chris Godwin.
Yeah, Godwin's market value on SpotRac is 22.5. I don't really trust their market value valuations, to be honest, because they kind of seem to be all over the place. All right, I got 4 more for you that I will rapid fire here real quick. How about the primary slot guy? And when I think of slot receivers, I think of Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks or Christian Kirk?
Probably Kirk, just the age thing. Brandon Cooks.
He's 31.
Yeah, Cooks has kind of disappeared the last couple of years. If this were about 3 years ago.
Not to be fair, he played in Dallas and they suck.
Yeah, if this were about 3 years ago, it would be Brandon Cooks. But Brandon Cooks has kind of disappeared, so I'll go Christian Kirk.
This is one that I have a good feeling that you and I are going to be on the same page with, Diontae Johnson.
Oh, no question, Kirk.
No question, Kirk. Like, if you could cut in Baltimore and you weren't spending time at massage therapist, you're a problem.
I'm also a little bit higher on Christian Kirk than probably the average person, so I think that plays into it a little bit.
I'm just not a Diontae Johnson guy.
Yeah, definitely not Diontae Johnson.
DeAndre Hopkins, old ass.
After watching him look like he couldn't track the ball on a simple throw in the Super Bowl, Christian Kirk.
You want to talk about a guy that you forgot about when you said Amari Cooper? I forgot multiple times that DeAndre Hopkins was on the Chiefs this year. I mean, just what that was a disaster. Mike Williams, final one.
See, this one's tough because this comes back to what do you want?
Because when I think of wide receiver two, I need someone that is a big weapon for Jaden. That's my issue. Like, if you the reason why I'm not as high on Christian Kirk is if you look at the roster the way it's constructed now. The tallest guy that he's thrown to is tight ends. Zach Ertz, John Pitts, Sinnott, whoever. Most of the wide receivers are not above 6 feet. Diami looks a little bit taller than Terry, but I don't know that Diami's going to be back next year. I wouldn't mind if he's back, but I don't think he's a solidified wide receiver too. That's why Noah Brown was such a big deal, because Noah Brown was a bigger target. I'd be interested in Mike Williams because Mike Williams is a bigger target, but he has such a just disgusting injury history.
Sneaky part about Mike Williams is he played in 18 games. This past season. So he played.
He played every game despite playing for 2 teams.
Yeah. He didn't get a bye week. He played 18 games.
Yeah. I wish he would have had a bye week when Pittsburgh came to Washington. That would have been nice.
If he's going to play every game, Mike Williams. But there's no way of guaranteeing that.
There's no way guaranteeing that. I would lean Mike Williams over Christian Kirk just because I think he adds a little bit more depth to the offense.
Well, he, like you said, he gives you something you don't have. And if you want Mike Williams to be the guy creating separation, no, he's not going to be that guy. He's not going to run by anyone. But, you know, especially later on in the year, it felt like Jaden started to get a little more comfortable just throwing the ball up to guys at times and just letting them go make a play. There's not many that are built like Mike Williams that can go make plays like Mike Williams. So I wouldn't hate the idea of, to me, the issue I have here is you're kind of labeling it as wide receiver two. I don't know that they fit as your true number two. I think it's still going to be committee idea. So that would be the only thing I'd say here is, like, when you're looking at Christian Kirk, he's not necessarily my second wide receiver.
Can you win with a wide receiver by committee as wide receiver two?
I think you can when you've got a legit guy like Terry. I mean, they did it this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
But to me, it was very clear that when Terry was getting roughed up a little bit against Philadelphia, they didn't have an option.
That's definitely true, but I think if you're upgrading guys, where I think you could get multiple of these guys if you really wanted, right? I don't think Kirk's going to ask a lot. I don't think Mike Williams is going to ask a lot. I mean, there's a real shot that maybe you end up with both of those guys. Suddenly, you're not dealing with, Terry's getting locked down by Quinyon. Mike Williams is on the other side. Christian Kirk's on the other side. It's not great. It's better than Olamide Zaccheaus and Diami and Noah Brown. So I think you can still upgrade it a little bit.
And I still think they draft wide receiver because this is a draft where in the 3rd, 4th round, you might be able to maybe not find like the next Terry, but you'll find a guy that can come in and you produce very, very quickly into the season.
And what do you think Luke becomes? Because I think that's a huge part of this. Because there's two guys that I'm really interested to see the leap that they take, because I think it dictates a little bit of what they're going to do. How does Ben Sinnott grow from year 1 to year 2? How does Luke McCaffrey grow from year 1 to year 2? I think,
are we going to get lied to about Luke McCaffrey the same way that we were in offseason conversations in year two?
Yeah, I mean, if Luke's going to step up, then maybe you just go get someone for the outside and he's your slot guy. You know, Mike Williams maybe is a perfect fit if he's going to stay healthy, or someone else around that sort of idea. But I think that's another question you have to ask, because does it make sense to go sign Christian Kirk for a couple of years if Luke McCaffrey is just going to step in and be your slot guy?
So that's a great question I think we should tackle when we get back. Are you comfortable if Luke McCaffrey is wide receiver two next year for Washington? He's Toby Altizer. I'm Denton Day. You can join us on the phones at 800-636-1067 or tweet us at the Denton Day at @Toby_Altizer. We answer that question when we get back. Grant Paulson joins us at 9 a.m. here on the Junkies on a President's Day. It's the Sports Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. Denton Day and Toby Altizer sitting in for the Junkies on President's Day. The fellas back in the chair tomorrow. The conversation we were having, Toby, before we hit our break. Are you comfortable if Luke McCaffrey is wide receiver two next year? I am not.
No, I don't
think
you
can be. The idea
of
that horrifies me, honestly.
I don't think you can be. He didn't. So my thing that I struggle with, and I'm no film expert, I'd have to go back and watch again, maybe dive a little deeper. Now that it's off season, maybe you can do a little more of it. But all year long, I was told about his separation, and he's this and that and this and that. Maybe he is, but he's not getting the football. Like, I need actual production on the football field, catching the football, for me to feel confident as wide receiver two. And he wasn't. I don't know if it was something where he wasn't a part of the progressions much. I don't know exactly what it is. But I don't know how you could feel confident. He also, when you drafted him, Denton, was always going to be a project. And maybe he has a big breakout in year two, but I can't bank on that. When I know that it'd be one thing if this team had gone 6-11, 7-10, you're going into next year and you say, okay, maybe we can give him a bigger role and just see what happens because you don't have expectations. But this team went to the NFC Championship. And so I can't depend on him just being my number two wide receiver. I'll give him every opportunity to earn more playing time, but I can't just say, yep, we'll roll with him as wide receiver two.
No, I'd feel very uncomfortable if he is wide receiver two. That would mean something has not gone the way that I hoped it went this offseason. Because we were told, like you said, about his separation, but really in many camps, we were like, oh, this guy's awesome. Oh, they're using him in so many different directions. And maybe that was just all a smokescreen, but, well, obviously it turned out to be a smokescreen. But I felt like I was lied to.
Yeah.
And I'd feel really, really upset if we do that whole song and dance again and then we get very similar results. If you're not going to throw to him when he's wide receiver, well, I mean, not only not throw to him, he was barely getting on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you were putting, obviously Diami was on the field more, but Jameson Crowder came in late. He was on the field more. Zacchaeus was on the field more. And I'm not upset that those guys were on the field over Luke McCaffrey. I mean, financially, maybe a little bit. But it, like, in the context of the game and what the team was looking like, it made a ton of sense. But if McCaffrey is the wide receiver, too, if they don't go out there and sign anybody in free agency, they don't draft anybody. Like, because even if they go, one of the guys that I would like them to draft, Toby, in the later rounds, second, third, fourth, what have you, probably not going to be available past the fourth, I would love it if they go get Trey Harris at Ole Miss. He's 6'3", big wide receiver. He kind of fills the need that I'm hoping to fill, which is a tall wide receiver opposite of Terry McLaurin, a definitive outside guy. I would love it if they draft him. He would automatically, I would think, come in and be the guy on the depth chart, maybe above Luke McCaffrey, just because he is a more natural wide receiver versus Luke, who is a great athlete, but still very much in the process of learning the position.
Well, and that's, to me, something that I think is interesting, because this was part of the attractiveness of drafting a guy like Luke McCaffrey, is he's a former quarterback. And so we've seen some success with some other guys that have done that. Travis Kelce is a former quarterback. Julian Edelman's a former quarterback. But Travis Kelce was, it didn't take as long. But Julian Edelman, remember, it took quite some time. And obviously, McCaffrey was drafted much earlier than Edelman. But I think maybe that's something that's just going to take a few years. And instead of maybe bringing back a Zach Ertz, maybe you have Luke McCaffrey fill that role. But that doesn't mean I'm comfortable with him being my number two option. Because frankly, even though I think Zach Ertz was second this year for this team, I don't know that you would view Zach Ertz as the number two option. He kind of eventually got to that point at the end of the season.
He definitely got there.
But I don't know that going into the year, you felt like that would be your number two guy. I think the interesting thing you said there, talking about with the draft and going after Harris, you want a tall guy outside.
I would.
I think for me, ideally, you'd like him to be tall, but I want a speed guy. I want a dude that part of the reason you drafted Jaden is you drafted a guy that throws the deep ball exceptionally well, and I want a guy that can take the top off. Like, De'Ami Brown maybe could fit that role, but he's not a burner, right? He's a deep threat who doesn't have elite speed. I would love somebody that just runs a 4-3 on the outside that makes you respect him, because Jaden can throw it up, and he's incredibly accurate deep down the football field, and I don't feel like we got to see that enough this season.
Yeah, I definitely want to see more of that. You know, I'm interested to see what Trey Harris or guys that are similar, because there are other tall guys, a kid from Stanford, Alec Aomanor, a kid from Stanford.
Like
he's
him.
6'2". You like him a lot. Xavier Restrepo is 5'10", but he played at Miami. Like, there are a lot of guys that I think it'll be interesting to see what they run in the combine. All I care about in the combine usually is the 40, just to see who's fast, who's not fast. I don't know that it really, really matters, to be honest, but that's the only thing I'm interested in. I don't care about, like, hand size or broad jump.
It doesn't. And even, like, the 40 times don't matter. It's just more so, like, what you can see at
times.
It's
just giving you an idea of what does this guy look like when he is unimpeded.
But could you imagine a dude like Jameson Williams, who, even when NFL DBs are in full stride, this guy's just pulling away from him.
Yeah.
Like, if you could get a guy like that, now I don't know that there isn't necessarily a dude like that. I think Isaiah.
If you get
Bond,
a guy like that and make him throw, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. If you could get to a big spot in the NFC Championship game and run a trick play to him, a reverse pass,
that'll work out.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think Isaiah Bond's pretty quick, right? Maybe that's a dude that you could look at in the later rounds. I think someone deep down the field is a deep threat, regardless of their size, I think would be priority number one for me if you're looking at the wide receiver position. Regardless of if he's going to be your wide receiver two or not, give me a guy that can stretch the field, because then I think it suddenly opens up the quick passing game a little more. Maybe it helps out the run game a little bit more. It helps out the quick passing game underneath and some of the screens and different things. So I think that, to me, would be something I'm really targeting this
offseason. So what are you confident in about Terry? Because Terry was kind of that this year, but he was the very definitive number one wide receiver. As Jaden progresses, if you get somebody like, let's just say you get a burner, mm-hmm. what are some of like the routes that you want Terry to be running on a more consistent basis? Because we saw a lot of comebacks between him and Noah Brown
yep.
this year. Like Noah Brown loved a comeback route,
mm-hmm.
and Cliff Kingsbury loved making Noah Brown run a comeback route. Terry had some screens. There's some quick slants that were very good. There were some drags. Like he has a tree, right? Like, there are some guys in the NFL that have about four routes they can run. He has a full tree of routes. But if he's not going to be that priority deep threat, where are you more comfortable in some of the route combos of him running?
Well, I think he can still be that guy. I just think you need someone outside of that, because until De'Ami Brown started getting going later in the season and in the playoffs, who was catching deep balls outside of Terry? So I think, you know, it can be something where you work with him. I think Terry can run everything, Den.
He can do everything.
Literally everything. So to me, what it allows you to do when you have another deep threat is, if you want to use Terry that way still, fine. Now you've got two guys that can run deep routes effectively, or you can let someone else be the deep threat, and Terry runs whatever you want. You want him to run a 15-yard dig? Fine. You want him to run
a deep in or something like that.
You want him to run the comeback? You want to run a slant? It allows him to be used a little differently versus saying, you know, if you have to use Terry as your deep threat and he's your number one, that's great, except for now, okay, they covered Terry. They've rolled coverages over the top. Now one of you other dudes who are Zacchaeus, one of the Browns, McCaffrey, now one of you dudes have to get open, and we saw that doesn't always work, because I was at the Atlanta game, just being able to see it in person. They had two really good safeties in Bates and Simmons.
Right.
One of those dudes was over the top every time with A.J. Terrell.
With A.J. And Terrell was really good.
He was really good. And you can take a guy like Terry out when, if that's your only deep threat, which seemingly it was, then all of a sudden,
at that point, that was their only anything threat.
Yeah. So I think having another guy where you say, okay, they have to at least respect that guy, or if you're getting single high, they have to choose a side. I think it's a little bit better that way, just to at least give Terry some flexibility.
I need another good wide receiver here. I can't watch Terry go out there and be the only guy again.
100%.
I cannot. My soul can't handle that. My body cannot handle that. I need Terry and friends.
Correct.
Out there. Give me some Terry and friends, and I think we'll be living all right. All right, when we get back, Grant Paulson is going to jump on with us. I kind of was getting after Toby a little bit for the Bachelor Combine that he did on Friday ahead of Valentine's Day. Well, Grant Paulson is going to put me through a fiance combine post-Valentine's Day when we get back. It's a President's Day episode of the Sports Junkies with Denton Day, Toby Altizer on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.